Anyone who dies at the age of 100 will be considered a young man dying. So in the kingdom of God, if he dies before the age of 100, they will say, what happened? Now, I'm saying something here. The challenge of Christians is to believe that thought. Is to start thinking like that. It's not when hand is paining you. You say, what happened? This finger has been paining me for 1 week. You say, you know you're not 60. It's rheumatism. And you say, amen. Once you say amen, it is to you according to your faith. You should have answered and said, no, that's not divine thought process. At the age of 60, the Bible says I'm still young. For that reason, if it's a disease of old age, it's not my portion. If you say that to your body after a while, by the time you are 60, your body will remember that you're only 25. Go and read the Bible well. When kings were fighting to marry Sarah, the woman was 70. They were confused, they didn't know. When Abraham was saying that, let somebody kill me now, God called him at 75. By that time, his wife was 65. It's not folk tales. It's true stories, things that happened. It is how we reason. The thoughts that dominate our souls that affect the things that happen around us. So when God wanted to create, it was thinking he did. It was not planning, what shall we do now? Well, yeah, everybody begin to say, hey, let the heavens be, heavens be, heavens be. No. So just thinking. This is not right. We'll do it like this. It's just in his heart. Then when everything was ready, boom, it came out. Moses said, and God said, let there be light. The truth is that God thought of light. And when he heard, boom, light said, yes, that's us they are calling. If you think rightly, and listen, you can't think rightly unless you understand what is recorded. He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth. What he said, what Jesus said is, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. As it is recorded in heaven. We read it wrongly. That he said, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. No. What he said is that the will of God is recorded in heaven. Our job is to pray it into existence on the earth. So you take that which is recorded and use it to form your thought processes. How are you thinking? We're talking about grace to prosper. If we want the grace, the power of God, the type that brought creation into existence, to work in your life, what you do is to settle down and rearrange your thinking according to what the Bible says about it. You cannot afford to believe wrongly. Because what you believe will come out naturally. Remember I started by saying that grace is that which God does in your life with his power. Now I'm describing how to tap into that grace. You don't have, you know, Christians, they want to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until the grace comes. No. The prayer you can pray is God. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Your prayer is to convert yourself through the understanding of the word of God. You can't pray into existence what you don't believe. Did you hear what I said? You can't pray into existence that which you don't believe. A brother called me yesterday. We were talking about some health challenges in his family. And he said something that this is how we are going about it. I said, sir, that is the right way. He said, every morning we take the scriptures and study it. I said, you know what you are doing? You are converting the thinking process in the home. You are converting the expectation in the home. Once it merges with the thought process of God, what we hear is, boom, let there be health. Healing will come. You know what Satan does? He goes around deceiving people. He will tell you the reason why you started 5 businesses and they did not do well is because there is an ancestral curse in your family. That was how your cousin started 3 businesses and it failed. That was why your brother had to go to America. Then when you believe it, it's not the word of God, you know it's a lie. All this story of ancestral curses, you know it does not happen to Christians. Christians have been delivered by the blood of Jesus. Listen, let me tell you, all your ancestral curses have been broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. But when you don't know, you start agreeing with them. They will start going for strange deliverances. Why? Because you did 5 businesses, they failed. What is divine thought process? Let me tell it to you. The righteous man fails 7 times, and the Lord still raises him up. So when you start 5 businesses, they fail, you say, well, the scripture is correct. I can fail 7 times. It's just 5, 2 to go. After this, somebody say, it doesn't mean you are cursed. I'm not cursed. How can I be cursed? Am I not a child of God? Did Jesus not die for me? Are you seeing divine thinking process? This is how grace comes. Grace comes when we start thinking according to the word of God. It's just the thought process we are still on. We have not even come to the eruption from the mouth. It just to convert. He said, let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Wickedness is a thought matter. What makes a man wicked, a woman wicked, is how they are thinking. Once I went somewhere to preach. They did not know. That's why I've been called by God to teach people. I said, how many people believe here that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? All the hands in the church went up. I said, let me explain it again. How many of you believe that the governor of this state is enjoying? All the hands went up. I said, how many people want to become governor so that they can enjoy? All the hands went up again. I said, you see, this is the reason why nobody listening to me this night will ever be a governor. Why? They have missed the thought process of God concerning what it means to be a governor. They've missed it. They have missed it. We're talking about grace to prosper. One of the things I'm going to do, all right, is to teach everyone listening to me the thought, in fact, that's the main thing, not one. The thought processes of God, what God thinks concerning the matter of prosperity. Because one of the reasons, you know something, when Christians quarrel, sir, you know why they disagree with each other? When a man says, it is the will of God for Christians to be rich. The other one says, no, this world is not our home. The two of them are fighting. If you look at them carefully, they are not in a disagreement. It's just that when you say rich, what the other man hears is different from what this man is saying. So he said, it's good for Christians to be rich. One man will say, Because what he thinks about rich is politicians that stole money. That's all he thinks about rich. The man who will do bad and nobody can do anything to him. The one who, if you annoy him, he will drag the matter to court, knowing he's wrong, but because court is expensive and takes time, he will bury the matter in court to oppress the poor man. When you say rich, that is what some people think. They are thinking, all these people that will just be, they'll be making noise. Their birthday, they'll be putting their faces in the newspaper. That's what they are thinking of rich. So when you say it is right for a Christian to be rich, no, he will never agree. And he shouldn't agree. If that's what he thinks, he should not agree. Why should you tell me that a Christian should oppress his neighbor? I won't agree. Why should you tell me that a Christian should be loud? His birthday, the whole world should be putting his face in the face of his newspaper. I will not agree. Why should you tell me that a Christian, all right, when he's traveling on the road, there will be convoy. It's not a government official, though. But one. Of course, I will not agree. But then, if I had understood that rich for Christians is different. Rich means I have what it takes to do the will of God in my life and help somebody else do the will of God in his life. It will be different. If you understood rich to mean that God is causing all grace to abound towards me, so that I have all sufficiency in all things and I abound to every good work, you will think differently. If you understood rich to mean that God is saying that once again I shake the heavens and the earth, that the deceiver is mine, the gold is mine, and with it I will do all this shaking of the heavens and the earth, and I need my people to administer it, the mentality is different. When you realize that rich in Christianity is an assignment, not an enjoyment. It's an assignment. Sir, listen. I run a ministry. We spend money. And I'm believing God that we'll even double what we are spending. And that we'll go over it 10 times more. But one thing I say all the time is that, for those who have heard me enough, I never, you know, some people raise money. I praise the Lord this evening. We have a lot of work to do. Those who believe in this ministry, they go on radio, they go on. I'm not saying it's bad, though. That's it's bad. I just never do it. It's against my personal religion. I don't do it. You now say, okay, so where does the money come from? Do you have oil well? No. I believed God, and I still believe God. And this is what I say. Even if I have to spend ₦1 billion a year, 90% of that money will come from 12 people maximum. Did you hear what I said? That is, if Kingdom World Ministries needs to spend ₦1 billion every year, I have prayed to God, and I have my reasons, that 900 million will come from 12 people who will be regular givers. That is, I know each one, okay, 12, 80 million, 100 million, 50 million, that's what they will give. All the other friends and well-wishers worldwide contribute the balance 10%. You say, why? Because I read the scriptures. I never saw Jesus taking offering in a crusade. More than they will do funny things. You gather unbelievers and say, offering time. Where did you see it? I can't go and do a crusade and tell the people I'm doing crusade to come and give offering. I won't do that. Yet, the ministry of Jesus had a treasurer. And somewhere in the book of Luke, let me not quote it, I think around chapter 7, but I'm not very sure. They gave us the names of just a few people who from their private means were giving and sustaining the ministry of Jesus Christ. Some people say sometimes, said, Mary poured an alabaster box of pure nard, perfume, costly perfume, and poured it on the head of Jesus Christ, on the feet of Jesus. Two times it happened. And Judas said, why didn't you sell it? Because that thing was worth 300 denarii. For those who don't know what a denarius was what a worker earned in a day. So maybe you are building it, you're in a construction site, a mason comes. How much do we pay mason now for a day's job now? 3,500. Okay, let's just say, to make it easy, let's just say 3,000 naira. 3,000 naira was one denarius. So 300 denarii was 900,000 naira. That was the cost of perfume that was poured on Jesus Christ at a time. Let me ask you a question. Some people say, you know, sometimes we pastors, some of them say, what have you done for the Lord? Bring your whole offering, your whole income. It's good. You should do it once in a while. The widow did it. Okay? However, the Mary that did it, where did she get it from? Inside the wardrobe. I don't know what I get what I say. You didn't catch it. Mary had it at home. You didn't catch that. Mary had it at home. In their home, they were that rich to keep that kind of bottle of perfume in the wardrobe. Mary was not a widow's mite person. The problem was that she broke it at a go. Not that she had it at home. Those were the kinds of people that made sure that Jesus didn't have to take offering. That's what it means to be rich as a Christian. Later on, before I conclude, I will talk about Romans chapter 12. He said, there is he that giveth. It's a ministry. There are those that their job, and those are the ones I believe God for 12 of them.
that they wake up in the morning and say, sir, what is there for us to do? Or they hear me mistakenly say that we need to acquire our own satellite. They say, what's the cost? I said, it's going to be by $100 million. They look at each other and say, oh, boys, how long will it take us to raise that? They say, well, 3 weeks, we should be done. I say, sir, 3 weeks, you have $100 million. I say, fine. And there's nothing like thank you, thank you, thank you for what? Did you say thank you when I finished preaching? I am doing my work. You do your own. We all give account before our master in heaven. And these people I'm talking about, if you see them, me and them will wear the same kind of shirt. What I mean is this, they won't look rich. They just look normal. Are you getting what I'm saying? They will look normal. On their birthday, nobody will greet them in the pages of newspaper. Yet, these are people that will give offerings $10 million at a go. Yet, on their birthday, nobody will talk about it. They will come to church, it's first come, first sit. You know, there's a special chair for some people. But for them, it is first come, first seat. So if in our back, they come late, they sit for back. Meanwhile, this is the man giving most of the money the church is spending, but he sits at the back. That's what it means for a Christian to be rich. A Christian is rich means that his son goes to a school like normal people. But he has taught his son that if any of your classmates look sad, ask him why. If it has to do with money, make sure the sadness is wiped away. Tell him, I will talk to my father. That's what it means for a Christian to be rich. So it's time to pay for work or WASC. They say, how much is it? I don't know how much they pay these days. I don't know. Sorry. My children are not doing WASC yet, so I don't know. How much is it? Somebody tell me, please. 13,000. Okay. Let's assume it's 13,000. So tell your son. Okay. 13,000 naira. Maybe the boy is going to a school. I mean, a rich man's son can go to a public school. It's not against the will of God. Just tell the boy, okay, how much is your WASC fees? Say 13,000. All right, tell your principal that when will it be available? Your daddy wants to see him. He comes that day and says, in this school, WASC fees is 1,300 naira. All the balance, here's the check, cover it for everybody. And don't tell anybody it is me. They just say, in this school, our WASC fees is 1,300. People say, what happened? You say, we thank God, by the grace of God, we are doing this. The grace is the power of God working the life of one of our pupils' fathers. And he's not planning to be a politician. He's not your state governor. He's not doing this so that later you vote for him to be president. He just does it and it disappears. That's what it means for a Christian to be rich. A Christian to be rich means that he lives on the street as he's approaching one day. They say the culvert is broken and they are going from gate to gate. Say the local government will not fix it, so neighbors will have to fix it. Each house pay for 5,000. And the man stops and says, what are you looking for? They say, yeah, sir, we are charging 5,000 naira to fix that culvert. It broke after the rains last week. How much do you think it's going to cost? They look, say, to do a very good one that will not break again, sir, we have checked the cost to come to about 500,000 naira. He picks his phone, says, don't worry about it. He calls his friend who has a small construction company. Say, come to my street, the culvert is broken. Come and fix it. Put the bill on my head. Tells the people, go and return the money to the neighbors. It's unnecessary. That's what it means to be rich for a Christian. So in his neighborhood, people won't be contributing money for who will repair culvert. You know, when God has blessed you, some things are a harassment of your soul. They'll be knocking on your gate. Have you paid your 5,000 naira? That knock is too expensive. You will call somebody, fix that culvert. I don't want any more knocks on my gate. You know, they say once, Bill Gates, that if you throw dollars on the floor, it is a waste of time for Bill Gates to pick it up. That is, if you pour $100 on the floor, a man like Warren Buffett, if he bends down to pick it, he's wasting time. Because if he spent that amount of time working, in 2013, the man was earning $13 million a day. You can't pick money that fast. Even if you see a mountain, you can't gather it that fast. God will bless you to a level. Some, you know, some announcements in church, you'll be a waste of preaching time. When the pastor is saying, please, brethren, we want to... He spends 5 minutes talking on projects. You say, if this man has spent 5 minutes preaching extra, we'll be more blessed today. So say, pastor, please, I want to beg you for a favor. Say, what is it? Don't make that announcement again. He says, why not? Because all the money you're asking for, please, here is it. Next time, let's use that 5 minutes to preach. That's what it means for a Christian to be what? In all of this, nobody knows he's there. The Bible says we are to be wise as serpents. You know what's the wisdom of a serpent? It disappears into the grass. You don't know he's there. That's why I tell Christians, no matter how rich you become in life, warn your friends, on my birthday, don't put my face in the page of a newspaper. It's against the will of God. That is not wisdom of serpents. What concerns the man in Balogun in Lagos that is my birthday? Does he know me? Tell your friends, on my birthday, come to my house. Let us eat and drink and worship the Lord. Bring people who can sing, who will dance and sing. That is how we will celebrate. Don't put my face in the page of a newspaper. I'm not a politician. Not begging for anybody's vote. What am I explaining? So you may find two Christians, that's where I began from, quarreling about an issue. They actually are in agreement. They just don't know. Because when you said rich to one person, he's thinking of the oppressor, the worldly man. When the other man says rich, he is thinking of somebody who has the resources to do the will of God. Back to where I started from. Or that's what I was trying to explain. It is that thinking process. Once it is established in your heart, grace comes to you naturally. It comes to you naturally. As you go on, you know, because of time, I can't go into it this evening, but I will explain what I call the divine thoughts on prosperity. One of the divine thoughts of prosperity, to use as an example, is that Christians are not doing anything so that tomorrow will be secure. I will explain it again tomorrow. One of the divine thoughts of prosperity is that as Christians, we are not doing anything so that we will invest so that tomorrow will be secure. No, that's not the primary purpose. I'll talk about it tomorrow. As an example, if a Christian wants to do business, there are a few things that are in his mind. Even when it comes to making money, it is a purposeful making of money. What I mean by purposeful making of money? It's part of my demonstration of stewardship that I'm not losing money. If this is where I work, the Bible says that I must eat from there. So the business I'm doing should be able to pay, you know, for my issues in life, you know, take care of my family, take care of my children, you know, part of it. But beyond this, there are things that are divine thoughts for Christians who are doing business. Number one, I don't want to go into detail about it. I'll come back to it tomorrow. Just get an example. Number one, why do we do business? One of it is to establish a good name. A good name, the Bible says, is better than making money. You know, in Nigeria today, if you see a bridge, you understand? And you see this big sign, B, on it. What does it mean? Beggar. If they say your whole family, ancestors and descendants should come and sit on the bridge, you are not afraid. You know the bridge is strong. You know the bridge is strong. You are not afraid. If they say they will build a house on top of the bridge for you, you say, who did the bridge? Beggar. And you are comfortable. That's what it means to have what? A good name. No, let it appear like it's a marketing. There are some phones in Nigeria right now. As I was driving just now, I saw their sign everywhere. All I did was, waka. They sell cheap, they are fine. All the people I know that bought them, all of them have spot. As the sign there, then I saw they go fold that up one day. But there's another kind of phone that we know. I won't mention it, let it be as if I'm advertising. Everybody I know that bought one, Unless they used and broke it themselves, it's still working. So anytime somebody says he wants to buy a phone, I say, my brother, see that one? It's fine. It's shining. Don't buy it though. This other one, I don't care how expensive it is. Look for the money and buy it. At least that one, you will have peace of mind. That is what is called what? A good name. A good name is when there's one advert of one tank those days, ZGP tanks. They used to say, if the quality is not in it, our logo is not on it. That's one of the best, you know, what do you call it? Those phrases, what do you call those phrases? Slogans, thank you. That's one of the best slogans I've ever heard. They said, if the quality is not in it, our logo is not on it. That's what it means to have what? A good name. So when a Christian is going to start business, that is number one in his mind. I must establish what? A good name. Number two is that I must demonstrate righteousness. Number three, I must be having a positive influence in the lives of people. Then number four can be things like, we must be profitable, because everything in life is profit. A good name is profit. If you make a lot of cash profit and lose name profit, your net balance sheet is what? Negative. You have lost money. There are things people will do sometimes, I just shake my head. I say, because of money. What do you think money is? You see an adult telling lies. I went to buy something one day. We made a mistake in the thing we bought. Not to the man. We're still there 2 minutes later. Please, can we change this? He said, I have written it in the book. I said, what? I've hardly left your shop. It's not up to 5 minutes. I just said, this thing I bought from you, please, I realized a mistake. It didn't cost you anything. You just took it off the shelf, gave it to us. You can put it back on the shelf. It's not that you have to break a seal or cut something. You just took it from the shelf. He said, I have written it in the book. That if only you had come back before I wrote it in the book. I said, please, sir. I felt like, look, Oga, you look like you're older than me. Where I come from, we don't insult seniors. But what you are doing, you are begging for insult. Just tell me no. No is no, Abi. So I told him, I said, listen, Oga, let's summarize like this. I bought this thing from you 5 minutes ago. I'm not asking for money back. I'm just saying that I made a mistake. Can I just return this and pick the other one? Please don't tell me you wrote in the book. Just say yes or no. He said no. I said thank you. And I walked away. And I looked at him and said, this man is very foolish. A good name is better than silver and gold. What have you gained? Now I'm using you to preach as a sign of foolishness. When we Christians do business, we don't do things because of money. A good name and righteousness are ahead of in our minds. Money is very far down because everything is gain or loss. You can gain cash and lose name. When you gain cash and lose name, you have made a net loss. You have not made a profit. I give that as an example just to show you that there are divine thoughts concerning everything. If I have plenty of money, more than other people have, there is a reason for it. There is a reason for it. There was a foolish man in the Bible. He had so much money. He said, let me invest it for the future so that I will never have to work again. God looked at him and said, you fool. Do you know we preach that thing today as a sign of good investment? Americans will write books on how to retire early so you won't have to work again. Any Christian who practices it will die suddenly. That's what Jesus said. He said, the land of a certain man yielded abundantly. Then he said to himself, what will I do? I will tear down my old barns. I will build bigger ones. I will say to my soul, soul, rest. You have much goods laid up for the future. Why trouble your soul? Relax and enjoy. Kick back. Americans have a name for it. They call it retiring early. Not having to work again. And Jesus said, you are a fool if you practice that. People are laying up money. God, why? He said, I want to be able to retire on time. These are not Christian thought processes. I always tell people, if government retires, you don't believe them. Do something else. You can't wake up every morning crossing your leg and looking at it. That's how you fall sick. Because you have not used that leg for some time. The leg will just say, why are we even healthy? It's just that swelling. You won't know why. They say you stepped on something. You didn't step on anything. It is you disobeyed the word of God. Because you are 65, government tells you you should retire. When God called Abraham at 75, what do you mean? One man I like those days, his name is Paul Dutola. He has died now. He was 90 something when he died. On his 90th birthday, they interviewed him. Many of us may know Dutola. He was a big group of companies. He used to manufacture tires, amongst many other things. The man was discussing about the new line of businesses they want to enter into. Business they are going to start this year. A 90-year-old man. But because we work for government, 65, they give you retirement benefit. You now go to the village and be causing trouble. It's true. When you don't have anything to do, you will be causing trouble. The current prime minister, or the president they use in Tunisia, that was elected a few weeks ago, he's 88. Elected in a free and fair election. He's 88. I don't know what people be lying to us that 70 years old. People may be abusing, what do you call it? This man in Zimbabwe, what is his name? I love that guy. I'm one man that will never abuse the man for anything. He's a good man. The white people may not like him, I don't care. I love Robert Mugabe because the man is about 90 years old and he's still. People say, that, how come he has been president forever? I don't care. All I know is that the man is 90 years old and he's still causing trouble, you know, with energy. I like him. It's a good sign for Christians to follow. Be alive and well at the age of 90. That's what I like about Sonjo. The man is all over the place. The point I'm making is that the man is healthy. Yet the same people tell a man to retire at 60 because working for government. Let me just tell you, the reason why they say retire at 60 in government is so that the job can go around. If you have your own business, you can retire at 150. It's your personal matter. I'm talking about divine thought processes concerning prosperity. I will develop them later. Let me close now. What have I said today? What I've said today is that number one, grace is when God's power is working towards us, working on our behalf, causing us to be productive in life, giving us the intellect we did not learn in school, making a primary school certificate holder smarter than a PhD holder. That is grace. How do we tap into grace? We say it's by faith. What is faith? It means when we are thinking, the word of God is what we are aiming to think like. If we think that the rich man, and I'm going to talk about that, maybe I start from tomorrow. Who is the rich man? I'll start from there tomorrow. In fact, please, in case I forget, stop me and say, you say you will talk about who's the rich man. Because I must talk about it. We say we must think like God thinks. For example, what we call rich in the world, most of them, God says they are very poor. I hope you know that. Go and read the Bible. There are two churches in the book of Revelation you should read. One of them is the church in Smyrna. And the second one is the church in Laodicea. Physically, the church in Smyrna was poor. It was a village church. The pastor did not have a car. He has an Okada or Keke Napep. The church was made of old roofing sheets. Jesus looked at them and said, I know your poverty, but actually you are very rich. The church in Laodicea, they're a very rich church. The pastor wore $2,000 Armani suits. The pastor drives a Bentley. They build their church building for the cost of 2.5 billion naira. When you come to church on Sunday, you see all the Lexus is lined up. They had money. They say, we don't have to pray again. God has blessed us. Hallelujah. When they want to give offering, they bring it out in dollars. And everybody's feeling happy. And God said, you think you are rich, but you don't realize that you are poor. You are blind. You are wretched. That's what God said to them. That's the church in Laodicea. We must understand that true riches is number one for Christians. We don't have the same standard of prosperity as the world. The size of your car may be the sign of your poverty. Say, I drive a Lexus LX570. God will say, this is a sign that you are poor. Another man may stand beside you, start his Okada, lady bike. And God says, see, that bike is a sign that fellow is very rich. There's one pastor I met once. He's an Anglican reverend. He's a missionary in some of these Francophone African countries. He said once he saw a white man. He said the man had a car back in Germany or so, something. Then when he came to, I don't know which of the country, whether Togo or somewhere, he found out that many of those pastors who went to the rural areas used to trek. That the man went back home, sold his car in Europe, and brought the money down to Togo, and bought many motorcycles, and dashed them out one to each of the pastors. Then he didn't have a car again. And that reverend said, and somebody wants to tell me that because the man is smoking, he'll go to hellfire because the man smokes cigarettes. He said, I don't care any cigarette he smokes. That man is going to heaven. Because he said he saw a man. He's a Christian. He came down. He said, this is how you people preach. They said, yes. You go around trekking. Nobody begging for money. He went back home, sold the only car he had, and brought the money down to the local currency and bought motorbike, and shared it out. You will see that man on the street tomorrow. He doesn't have a car. But God will say, his trekking is a sign that indeed he's rich. Our yardstick of who's rich, who's poor, is not the same as that of the world. For those of us Christians, the kind of car you drive doesn't say whether you are poor or rich. It can mean you are a thief and you are going to hellfire. And no matter how rich you are, if you go to hellfire, you are poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many of these Nigerians are doing Ranka Dede for today. They are poor. I wish God would give you glasses, spiritual glasses, so you can see. You'll be feeling sorry for them. Some people that we pastors invite to church, if we could see spiritually, you know, we want to do Thanksgiving, harvest, want to raise money for church building, we invite people to church. If God will give you glasses, you look at them. You will invite them to hospital, not church. That this man is sick. You will be praying for him. If he wants to give money, say, no, please don't give money yet. Your soul is dirty. You have spiritual HIV. But we don't do that. Say the man, Excellency, sit in front. Sit in front. Praise the Lord. Today, the Lord laid upon my heart to take a special offering because a man who's going to hellfire is sitting down. Listen, if we want to tap into grace, the first thing we do is to learn divine thoughts about everything. And that's what I've come here to teach. The next three sessions, I'm teaching on divine thoughts about everything. Divine thoughts about hard work. Divine thoughts about investing your money. Divine thoughts about the ministry of giving. Divine thoughts about who is rich, who is poor. Once you imbibe those thoughts and you start thinking like that, boom, the power of creation comes into your life. I hope you've got my point this evening. I hope you've got my point. I think we have had a good start. Let's go and rest. We'll continue tomorrow morning. Can we just bow our heads and quickly begin to pray? Let us say, Lord, I want to be rich indeed. That's the big foundation. I want to be rich indeed. True riches, true riches, true riches. It starts with understanding. It starts with knowing the ways of God. Say, Lord, that is my first. That's my first thought. That's my first desire. My first foundation. The thing I want first. Say, meanwhile, Lord, I thank you for giving me understanding tonight. Say, Lord, I thank you for the understanding that you gave me this night. Just ask the Lord, say, Lord, this weekend that I'm here, open my heart. I lay it down before you. Open it and fill it with your truth. Everything that I know that is wrong, help me to drop it and imbibe your truth. That is a payment. It's a change of thought. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. In the name of Jesus Christ.